And we're continuing with this series about being numb and having motion. And I hope y'all can see these scriptures. I just keep writing them smaller and smaller. But I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. If you have your word with you, you can read and find it in your word. And if you want to read it on the screen, we have made accommodations for you there. Colossians chapter 3. I still hear some pages turning. Praise the Lord for the page turners. Hallelujah. I know when I was in Texas, we used to have the Bibles that were in the seats. Almost everybody would, you know, grab a Bible out of the seat. They wouldn't even say where it was. They would say, please turn in your Bible to page 375. Brother, I cannot tell you to turn to page 375. But Colossians is in the New Testament towards the back. Yes, it's one of the epistles. Colossians chapter 3. Now I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And if you like, you may stand as well. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And if you want to turn with me to Isaiah, we're going backwards to Isaiah, back to the Old Testament. We're going back to Isaiah 29. Way back in wisdom. Somebody say, we're going back in wisdom. Going back to the area of wisdom, one of our major prophets, our brother Isaiah. Isaiah 29. I'll be reading at verse 13. Isaiah 29 and 13. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. This is the word of the Lord. And I have one more for you, coming from Jeremiah. This one right here is amazing. Well, they all are, but Jeremiah and Isaiah just make my toes tingle. Jeremiah 1, first chapter in Jeremiah. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. And you may take your seat as we continue with this November series, y'all. This one right here. We're going from toxic Christianity to radical thanksgiving. Somebody say, from toxic Christianity to radical thanksgiving. And y'all, this is a, I'm calling the intro and meanderings, me and things. And while I was going, Lord God, I need the courage to teach this topic. And while I'm meditating and asking for courage and boldness, y'all know I have that special inner being that just loves to ask questions. So just before I got all out of control with nervousness and anxiety, because I know I'm not supposed to do that, my inner being says, I wonder how Cousin It uses the bathroom. Now, y'all, I know that probably has nothing to do with toxic Christianity, our having these moments and doing what the Lord says do, but they have a way of working things out, don't they? I'm like, Lord Jesus, how does Cousin It use the bathroom? And then I found this. This is it. This is it. How can I be a help? Ask yourself, how can I be a help? This is it. Whether you got funny hair, whether you got on a Sunday dress and some boots and socks, whether you're trying to hold it together, just ask God right now, how can I be of help? So the question that came from all of that is, how does God want us to show up? Y'all, there's so much going on in the world. I mean, so much we can't even name it all. One thing after another, government shut down, people not being able to receive their basic necessities, and all of these other things that we can't even call. How does God want us to show up? And where does God need us this day and in these times? So if you guys are wondering, where does it come from? I'm here to tell y'all, I thought that I was off my rocker whenever they said toxic Christianity. And when I went to Google it, I realized that there really is a thing called toxic Christianity. And I didn't know it. And there's also a thing called radical thanksgiving. And because they're so sensitive and delicate, we are here to get some clarity today. Amen. Somebody say clarity. And we want to give thanks with grateful hearts. I tell you, one thing I love about teaching is you can find all kinds of graphics to make your point. And I had no idea that I was going to find some of the ones that I did today. But as I continue, as we move from motion to meaning, according to Brother Alpheus, let gratitude wake something up in us. Real thanksgiving doesn't just change our mood. It transforms our hearts, and it draws us closer to God. I was going to say should, but you know what? There is no should. It just does. It may not be doing it right now, but in time, it does. It transforms our heart, and it does draw us closer to God. That's what Colossians 3:17 says. And it's easy to sing sometimes, to serve, to show up, but still feel stuck in a heartless religious routine. Somebody say religious routine. That's where we come with the Isaiah 29 scripture, where the Lord says, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouth, i.e., interact with their religious routines, they honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me. We show up for worship. We show up for the meetings. We show up doing the different things, but some have removed their hearts from me. And others, their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. Somebody say the commandment of men. So this November, we're stepping into real connection and genuine thanksgiving. As we look at this part right here and focus on their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. I'm going to start in the dark. And the dark place is toxic Christianity. And I just put it in there. Toxic Christianity, do you know that there are over 245,000 ideas, results, articles on toxic Christianity on Google? They know so much. 245,000 results. And y'all know how they work with me. They always give me an acronym. So our acronym this morning for toxic is trauma or triangulation, oppression, extremes, intimidation, and condemnation. I'll say it again and I'll say it slowly. Toxic stands for trauma or triangulation, oppression, extremes, intimidation, and condemnation. And so that's why we are taking this Isaiah 29 scripture and looking at it briefly. And their fear toward me is taught. Somebody say it's taught. It's taught by the commandment of men. And we have to be careful because 9 times out of 10, if anything is taught, you can just about bet if men are behind it, we have to study to show ourselves approved. Amen. We do have to study and know our word on our own and by the help of the Holy Spirit and ask for that wisdom. Because if we look at it from the commandment of men, we realize that often it is fear and it is controlled given. Do y'all remember the aspect of our faith that said that we had to just accept things by faith and don't question God? Do y'all remember that era when they were like, you don't question God? And that always bothered me, but I never knew why. Why can't I ask God a question? Now, I can understand why I might not be able to ask my mom a question or my sister or maybe, you know, somebody else a question. I might just, I don't know if I'm being nosy. Am I being curious or, you know, but we have to be careful about how we ask people questions, don't we? But we're going to go with James 1:5. He says that if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Amen. Somebody say, you better ask. Amen. Yes, we have been given permission. And this would be a commandment. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Not only that, Matthew says, asking it will be given to you, seeking you shall find, knocking the door will be open unto you. How are we going to see if we don't get to look and wonder and ask? So we have to ask some questions. We have to seek. We have to look. Somebody say, and please knock. Please knock. Information. John 16:24 says, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. And asking you will receive and your joy will be complete. I believe Jesus knew that folk weren't allowed to ask. And because Jesus knew that folks weren't able to ask, he says, until now, you couldn't ask. We couldn't ask. But now that you can, knock it out the park. Ask, you'll receive, you will learn, and that's where your joy comes from. Somebody say, that's where my joy comes from. Yeah, that's where the joy comes from. And the T for this toxic Christianity comes from, I just kept it to triangulation. And triangulation is whenever you have three people in a situation. I call it a twisted trinity. Triangulation is when, let's say, can I play with the sisters? I'm going to play with my visitors this morning. It ain't going to be too bad. And I asked Brandon if I could play with him. So I always ask permission if I can. Triangulation is when I know Sister Galloway has done something to me. She got me good. She hurt my feelings real bad, too. And I talked to Sister Mary about what Sister Galloway did to me. I know this really is her sister. They love each special question. Whose side you on? All right. Brandon, whose side you on?
The Lord's side.
That's right. See, whenever you've been triangulated one time too many, people want to know, well, whose side are you on? The Lord's side. See, triangulation is not about resolution. It's not about solution. It's not about getting to a common ground. It's about personal gain. And 9 times out of 10, they want to know, whose side you on? Ask somebody, whose side are you on? Or either they just trying to trip you up like they did Jesus. In this right here, where Jesus was teaching in the temple, when some of the scribes and Pharisees came to him and they were trying to trick him and find out, well, where did your authority come from? So they weren't really looking for a resolution. They were trying to trip you up. Somebody say, watch out for getting tripped up. That's right. Sometimes people are not asking questions honestly. That's why it's toxic, because they're trying to trick you. Somebody say they even try to trick you for Jesus. They do. So Jesus used wisdom to answer the question that the priests were asking them. I'm going through it, and the scriptures can be found in Matthew 21, 23, Matthew 26, Matthew 14. And I want to say right here, if you guys want to see these slides and refer to these scriptures, you can go to our website, and the slides are on there with the audio, and you can get these scriptures if I'm moving too fast. But sometimes you got to say things to other people when they are just trying to, you know, play a little game with you. They're trying to triangulate. You just do what Jesus said. Since these folks won't always answer you, they want to know what you're going to say so they can know how to respond. One of the best responses that I'm trying my best to learn is, well, since you can't answer, neither shall I tell you how I do these things. So everybody, repeat after me. Since you can't answer me, I can't answer you. That is the Pastor Katie Webb version of what Jesus said to the priests. See, something, people don't always want answers, nor do they have good, they don't always have good intent. It's about manipulation, control. Somebody say gaslighting. We don't always hear gaslighting in church, but that's a good word we need to be aware of with toxic Christianity. Gaslighting is when I call it victim shaming, whenever they know that you're the victim, but they want to put it on you or that victim. I call it the blame game. Somebody say the blame game. And it's not about resolution. But the word resolution says the Holy Spirit is when we're seeking resolution, we are looking for a solution. And when we get that solution, it heals the soul. Somebody say it's about healing the soul. And because these aspects are fear control, fear and control driven, it has to also do with oppression. But Jesus said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. If we are in a situation, we are seeking godly counsel, and we come away from that situation feeling more fear rather than more freedom, ask some questions. Because God says we are no longer to be ensnared by that yoke of bondage anymore. And sometimes we have to walk away so we can feel free rather than stay in a position or a situation where we are consumed with oppression. Somebody say, avoid oppression. Toxic Christianity deals with extremes. It's all or nothing. That is not what Christ said. See, Christ offers us life, and he offers us options, such as you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? That's right. There's freedom in truth, but sometimes people won't tell you the truth. Well, I can't tell you the truth. It might hurt you. I don't want you to feel worse. But freedom is in truth. Christ offers life. The option is tell me the truth and let me work it out with God. Jesus says he came that we would have life and life more abundantly. It's not all or nothing. It's Jesus and more Jesus. Somebody say it's Jesus and more Jesus. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If we're going to work with extremes, we have to realize some things have to die so that God can resurrect us. Amen. Somebody say, let me die and resurrect me, Jesus. See, there are some things that really do need to die so that we can experience the resurrection and life that Christ promises us. And another aspect of this toxic Christianity, it has to do with intimidation. Somebody say intimidation. Ain't nothing worse than somebody trying to make you feel like you're going to lose something. There's an acronym that the current generation use, and it's called FOMO. Somebody say FOMO. FOMO has to do with the fear of missing out. So repeat after me. The fear of missing out. So an intimidation method may be that, well, you know, if you leave here, where you gonna go? If you walk away from this, what are you walking into? Oh, I remember my mama saying to me one time, ain't nothing worse than being caught between the devil, the witch, and the deep blue sea. How about some form of intimidation that uses fear that doesn't allow you to make a move? It's got to be some spiritual thing in there that can fix up the devil, the witch, and the deep blue sea. Amen. Or using scarcity, lack, and poverty. I can't get this because if I get this, I won't have enough money for this. Or if I do this, maybe this will be worse. So we have to be aware of those aspects that use intimidation. And remember what Jesus said, what God says in Isaiah 40. Somebody say, do not fear. Do not fear. You can't miss out. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. You don't have to worry about how weak you are. I will strengthen you and help you. And guess what? God is not like the floor. One of my favorite things, I saw this meme. It says, "I will always there to be catch. I will always be there to catch you, the floor." See, God is better than the floor, because see, He upholds us. Uphold me with Thy free spirit. Whatever you do, Lord. Somebody say, "Don't take your joy from me." Don't take it. I'm getting ahead of myself. But He says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And we are saved. Whoever is in the hand of God cannot be plucked out. Is that not a promise? Amen. So no more FOMO. We can't miss out with Jesus. Mm-mm. Then the next one is condemnation versus correction. Therefore, says Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're gonna make some raggedy choices. We're gonna make some horrible mistakes. We're gonna do things absolutely on purpose, by accident. But at the end of the day, Jesus paid it all. So that which He paid for, either correct me kindly, but the last thing I need is another person condemning me. Because see, guess what, y'all? The fourth agreement says always do your best. Honey, sometimes the worst that I've done is the best I can do. Repeat after me. The worst I've done was the best I could do. All right, come on, been saved from the womb. Some folk act like they never messed up. That is not my testimony. I break all your crystal. There's no condemnation, y'all. And my favorite one, praise Jesus, God is so good, He made me put a big old sticker on the back of the truck. Those without sin cast the first stone. I got a revelation on that. I was like, why is the first stone? Because it's the first stone that counts. Somebody got to throw it first. Somebody got to lead. So what happens if nobody ever throws that first stone? Somebody say, those without sin among you. Now that doesn't necessarily mean among us right here. Among, expanded version of among, mean within you. Among you, what's in your mind, what's in your thoughts, what's in your heart, what's in your past, what's in your closet, all the little capital one person, what's in your wallet? Those without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. So now we got to get into radical thanksgiving. Whew. That toxicity stuff was kind of heavy, wasn't it? Give the Lord a praise for Thanksgiving. Y'all see why it was a little tough for me? And I didn't even go into the detail the way the Lord went in there with me. But radical thanksgiving is thanksgiving that goes beyond basic attitude. And it has to be intentional. That's when we intentionally cultivate a deep sense of appreciation for all of our experiences. Boy, isn't it hard to give, what is it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the other one, I'm so glad Byron Cage made a song, "I Will Bless the Lord." Just had to wonder, how am I going to bless God here, Jesus? Whew. But we have to recognize that challenges, here's a lovely shift. Recognize that it's not challenges. Y'all remember challenges. This is challenging. This is hard. This is difficult. These are opportunities, y'all. We can either see challenges or we can see an opportunity for change. Change, growth, and understanding. And that's how we get to move from challenge to change. And we do it actively. That's where we have to praise. We have to acknowledge the positive aspects of our life, even during the difficult times. You know, this is really not so cool right now. I am not feeling great now. But you know what, Lord? I thank you that I remember when I felt better. I know you are God. And you know what? They say, if I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I need your shadow to come down and just pick me up. What word do y'all use to get yourself, whenever you're feeling a little sideways, to move from those difficult places? That's what radical gratitude is about. It's not always about those great big things. It's sometimes just getting up to go to work, cutting the grass, dusting. Those things that we just quietly just, I tell you what, I just don't like folding clothes, Miss Beta. But radical Thanksgiving gives us the opportunity to relook at it. Lord, I thank you I got clothes to fold. Lord, I thank you that I do have a job to get up and go to. Lord, we thank you that even though the car is ticking and it's making strange sounds, Lord God, we still got something to roll around in. We have to remember to choose, not find. It didn't say find ye, choose. I got to find a way to thank the Lord. Why? What you looking for? Choose. Somebody say, I got to choose. Yeah, we have to give thanks with a grateful heart. So since we had toxic, we got radical. Y'all, I'm going a little long for myself, but y'all just work with me. Radical, and I'm going to go through it. Radical, R-A-D-I-C-A-L, radical. I'm going to give y'all the Katie Webb Cliff Notes version. Radical means I am redeemed, I am restored, and I am resurrected. Somebody say redeemed, restored, resurrected. Fear not, says God. I have redeemed you and I called you by my name and you are mine. Somebody say I am his. Do you know to whom you belong? Yes, and in him we have redemption. Somebody say I've been redeemed. And there are some places in me that have been resurrected. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Somebody say, I've been resurrected. Y'all better be glad. I've been resurrected. And then my A is for being appreciative. I'm aligned and I'm anointed. How many people know you're anointed? We have to know that we are anointed, okay? God anoints our head with oil as we look for the overflow. We are appreciative. We give thanks. In everything, give thanks, says Paul in Philippians. And, I'm sorry, in 1 Thessalonians. But we have to constantly give thanks over and over and over. And not only that, oh, praise God. Say this with me. I'm delivered. I'm divine, I am developed, and I'm developing. See, that's what is cool about being radical. We know we've been delivered from something. If you've been delivered from something, say, I've been delivered. We're divine because Jesus prayed for us that we would be one with him. We are God's children. If we are going to belong to God and God just said that we are his, how are we going to be anything less than divine? Mm-hmm. And it says in Romans 10, but through knowledge, somebody say knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. That's why we have to be intentional. Somebody say, I can. And I will. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Brother said that earlier today. We were trying to get those drums fixed. He said, I can do it. And I was thinking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They lined us up again this morning. And I just thank God. Somebody say, I can and I will. If God has given us the strength, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I have cried, and I have borne my burden in the heat of the day, and I have been down, talked about, criticized, kicked, misused, lied on, lied to, lied about, and God gave me the strength to stand, I refuse to believe. Wait, let me stop. Kate Kitchen attitude. Excuse me. I can give radically. I can give radical thanks. Stand here and wake up and command the day and say, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So if I've done it hard, I'm going to take some time to learn how to do it easy. And I'm not being foolish. I am believing what God said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then he can make it easy. Amen. How long we gonna keep doing it the hard way, y'all? Newsflash, the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs. So consider ease if we can do all things, and we will. Jesus says compassion, not condemnation. Jesus looks at us, and he looked over the crowd, and he always interacted with people, y'all, not from a place of condemnation. Despite what we have been told and we may have believed, God had compassion. Jesus looks on us with compassion. As a matter of fact, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the part that we have not been told enough, he did not come into the world to condemn, but he came to save the found. He came to save the lost. Jesus was always hanging out with the wrong people. That's what they told us. And we have to see daily, that Christ was moved with compassion. Yes, please. I'm not going from one extreme to the next. We do not go from extreme condemnation to just let her rip. No. That's where wisdom comes. There's a time when we have to know when to stand, and there is a time when we have to know when to sit. There's a time whenever we may have to flip a table. And like God said, if you're going to flip the table, put your back in it. You can't be half flipping the table. So whenever it's time to step in, we have to step in. And when it's time to step back, remember, whatever we do, we have to do it with compassion, not condemnation. And for the last one, we are accepted because we are aware, we are awakened, and we are allowing. Somebody say, I'm allowing. I'm allowing radical thanksgiving to transform my life. I am allowing God to teach me something new. I am allowing God to move me from this toxic way of being and being confused into a place of freedom in Christ Jesus. Is it just me? But Romans says, receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. I don't think Jesus was picking nobody apart going, Let us receive one another as Christ received us. We all got some dirt under our fingernails, even if they may be clean right now. Everything comes up out of the dirt, says the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians says, arise, awaken. We have to awaken to another way of being in Christ. These day and time, we need to update our relationship with God and how we are seeing things, because the old time religion is not good enough for me. Okay? In Romans 12, 2, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because that's where it starts. And I want to add this as the Holy Spirit. People can only do the best they can. Sometimes some of the things that we've been taught, sometimes the things that we understand, it's all that those people knew. That's why it's time for us to learn. They did not have computers in 1936. And we have to remember charity starts at home. Everything starts at home, y'all. It starts with ourselves. It starts with our families. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It starts within, and then it goes out, the home of us. And so now we get the out throw. We get to get ready to have some understandings after these meanderings. We don't have to worry about toxicity in the same way, because now we know he keeps on making a way. Amen. We got to stand for something, and we stand in the truth no matter how awkward and unusual it may feel. You know, it's a tricky feeling to be the generational curse breaker in your family. Can we be straight? Whenever everybody else tells lies and keeps secret and you are a truth speaker, it can get not just fiery darts, but some bombs thrown at you. So we have to be aware of who we are for Christ today, because there's so much going on in the world. So we have to be careful when we're looking around and assessing, not condemning and judging situation. Y'all, look, it's not how does cousin use the restroom. What if God is calling me to help cousin it? Whether he got to use the bathroom, whether he needs something to eat, whether he needs a ride, whether he needs a prayer, are we interceding? How are we showing up for cousin it, whoever cousin it may be, and how they may look? How does God want us? How does God need us to show up? And this is the main thing we want to understand about toxic Christianity. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Somebody say it's about a relationship. And when we know that, this is how it can help. This is how we can help. And this is what lets us give thanks with a graceful heart. Amen. Stand on your feet, house of Judah. I am just so grateful to stand here and talk about some things that we really don't normally talk about, which is how sometimes we have not always been that disciple. How we have not always been that radical thanksgiver, whether we're giving thanks for what God is bringing us through or whether we are donating, giving, because there's so much that thanksgiving implies. And so as we give thanks with grateful hearts, let's just take a moment to just close our eyes and breathe in the presence of the Holy Spirit.